timely, research-based information. That's what we offer here at the weekly edition of the Extension Service Update. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Curtis Dame, Hopkins County Extension Agent for Agriculture and Natural Resources. This week I'm going to bring you information about protecting pollinators in the garden and on the farm, garden pests and how to identify and control those. Most importantly, a look at the June beef IRM calendar and what you can be doing now for your cattle herd. First off, let's take a look at protecting pollinators. Honeybees and other pollinators are such a major part of agriculture as cattle and corn. We hear a lot about protecting pollinators, as we should, since losses of honeybees since 2006 has been both unacceptable and unsustainable. When it comes to protecting pollinators from pesticides, there are a few key risks that need to be managed. However, pesticides are under our direct control, and we can take effective steps to minimize their effects on pollinators. Some of the key steps include avoiding contaminating plants in bloom, avoid pesticide drift onto colonies, and avoid contaminating water sources for pollinators. And in regards to avoiding contaminating plants in bloom, many insecticide labels prohibit spraying areas in which pollinators are actively foraging. This is subtle language, as it does not say do not spray the blooming plants. When temperatures are below 50 degrees Fahrenheit or late in the evening when the sun is down, that's the best time or best time periods. Spraying weeds in flower can be just as hazardous to pollinators as spraying crops in bloom. In addition to that, avoid pesticide drift on the colonies. Now, where we have direct evidence of pesticide kills of honeybee colonies, pesticide drift over colonies is the frequent case. To avoid pesticide drift on the honeybee colonies, the first step is to know where the colonies are around the fields that will be treated. Get to know your local beekeepers and where they keep their colonies. We can work together to both pollinate the crop, but also protect the honeybees. Having vegetation buffer strips of trees will help to prevent drift onto these colonies. And make sure you don't spray when the conditions is to favor drift. Lastly, in regards to honeybees and pollinators, avoid contaminating water sources for pollinators. This is often overlooked, but pollinators collect more than just nectar and honey. If you've ever had a teaspoon of honey, you will know that the next thing you need to drink is water. It's the same with honeybees. Beekeepers will often put out watering stations for honeybees, and just like the colonies themselves, we need to avoid pesticide drift over these areas that would result in contamination. In addition to that, this week, pest control in the garden is key to a successful garden. The goal of many home gardeners is to apply few or no pesticides at all, and this philosophy often results in unacceptable harvests because their gardener is often faced with a dilemma of either applying pesticides or experiencing a significant or total crop loss. And we've seen that with striped flea beetles already on a lot of crops in the garden. Pest-resistant crops will actually help you develop a good plan for attack in regards to pests. Plant varieties or cultivars that will handle the abuse from pests, especially those bugs and insects that you don't catch until the damage has already been done. Spacing and sun exposure will also help. A prime example of good hot weather and how it will help control is the control of slugs in the garden, which have even been a problem for soybean producers in the area. In addition to that, cultural practices will help you too. While no-till is a favorable practice, sometimes that overabundance of plant material can promote other diseases and pests that will hamper your operation in the garden or on the farm for the rest of the year. In conclusion, I want to take a look at the month of June and how it relates to cattle producers. This month, you need to review the Kentucky Department of Agriculture grain and marketing reports. It'll help you get a good feel for what feed prices will be and how to plan for the coming months. And as far as the spring calving herd is concerned, we know that breeding season will continue, and breeding pastures that contain fescue should be low endophyte and contain legumes. Manage to keep these plants in a vegetative state with a minimum of seed heads. Observe performance of the bulls during this time as well. If the number of cows returning to estrus is large, try to determine the cause and consider changing bulls. In addition to the fall calving herd, the weaning period is something you need to take a look at as well. Finish collecting cow and calf weights at weaning, pregnancy test cows if not done previously, and consider selling open cows and heifers, cows weaning lightweight, poor quality calves, and problem cows. Inform tax preparer if the cows and heifers were raised or purchased, and make initial selection of replacement heifers. Now, for considerations for all your cattle, prevent and control pink eye. That is key this time of year, and you can do that by clipping tall, mature grasses, reduce flies with adequate fly control. Control the flies, and methods may include back rubber, spray, dust bags, or porons, and insecticidal ear tags, which can be included to 2 tags per cow. Now, treat problems quickly. A lot of the times, the problems we have with cattle herds can become a lot worse when they're not treated in a timely manner. Maintain a clear and clean water supply and check it routinely. Water is extremely important in hot weather. So as you can see this week, there's a lot of topics that we've got on our radar. If you have any questions about what we've covered in this week's episode, feel free to give us a call here at the Hopkins County Extension Service or any local extension service in this area. Thanks for tuning in.